I've got a few preacher friends on Facebook. There's good and bad that comes with it, but it's nice because often they'll post thoughts about the Bible, interesting scriptures, interesting thoughts. Occasionally, they'll post entire sermons. And one sermon title stuck out to me, though, when a friend posted it. It was 40 reasons people may not like you. You're only getting 18 reasons this morning. But this sermon was 40 reasons people may not like you, and I just had to listen to it. I saw that title, I said, okay. And after I listened to it, I thought, wow, I'm glad I listened to that. It stepped on my toes, but, you know, in a good way. When we're able to examine our lives in light of God's word, it's really a blessing. It's a good thing. So I reached out to Gary. I said, Gary, if you or Connor ever want to take a break, you know, not now, in the future, like later in the year, I'd be happy to fill in. I just heard a good sermon. I'd like to share it with people. You know, no rush, not now, this year, next year, year after that. Gary said, how about next week? No, he said, he gave me 2 weeks. But I appreciate the opportunity to get here, to get up here every so often. It's really a treat for me. I hope it's not too bad for you. We're going to go through Proverbs and see a lot of different ways that we can improve ourselves. So if you haven't opened up your Bible, go ahead and open up to Proverbs. We'll be there for the whole time this morning. We're going to be applying some of the wisdom that Chase just read about in Proverbs to us today. And hopefully it's going to be a little bit lighthearted. If you're sitting next to someone who you think needs to hear something and you want to elbow them, I'm not going to stop you. But just be careful because you might get an elbow back. So just be careful. So we're looking at some ways to step on our toes because there's probably some ways that our lives don't perfectly reflect the wisdom of God. And I think it's a good thing that we can learn about that and to do better. So the number one, 18 reasons people don't like you. Number one, are you a bad listener? This is from Proverbs chapter 18 in verse 13. Are you a bad listener? Proverbs 18:13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. This could be one of the reasons that people don't like you. When someone is talking to you and your immediate thought is, I know exactly what I'm going to say whenever they take a breath. This might apply to you. How often do you finish someone's sentences with what you think they were going to say instead of letting them just say what you think they were going to say? How often do you interrupt them with your reply before they were even done? Shame on us if we do that. Whether it's a big issue or a little issue, it's frustrating to be on the receiving end of this, even if you really do know what they're going to say. Just go ahead and let them say it. People just want to be heard sometimes. If you want to infuriate someone from 1 to 101, don't listen to them. Sometimes we'll be driving in the car with the kids, and Gloria, she's one, she will be complaining about something. And we can turn on the music or distract her or just tell her to pipe down. And that may or may not work. Usually it doesn't work. But if we say, Gloria, you're feeling sad, aren't you? And she'll say, yeah. And then she'll be fine. Usually. But just her knowing that someone hears her and understands her is enough a lot of times. She'll ask for Blue's Clues. She'll say, Blue's Clues. That's her sign. She knows she wants to ask for Blue's Clues to watch on TV. And sometimes we have to tell her no. But if we just hear her and say, Gloria, you want to watch Blue's Clues? She'll say, yeah. And we'll say, no TV right now. And she'll, okay. But as long as we hear her, as long as she knows that she's heard, sometimes that's enough. One exercise that communications experts use is this. So imagine you have a couple. One is a bad listener. So they'll have the bad listener, they'll have him or her sit down and say, you are not allowed to say anything. You have to let this person talk until they're done. So they'll start talking, and you can see this person getting uncomfortable. They're squirming, and they're like starting to say something, but they're not. This one's talking and talking and talking, and then they're done. They listen the whole time, but they're not allowed to say anything yet. They're not allowed to say their opinion. They're not allowed to reply or contradict or correct anything that this person said until this person is able to summarize everything this person said in their own words, and this person says, yes. That's exactly what I was saying. Until you're able to do that, you don't understand. You haven't listened. You might think you have, but you haven't. If you've never tried this, whether in a marriage or in parenting or in a Bible study or at work, It's life-changing. Tell yourself the next time that you're in a conversation, maybe one that's a little bit heavy, maybe something that needs to be resolved. And as you listen, tell yourself, I'm not going to interrupt. I'm not going to think about my rebuttal. I'm instead going to focus 100% on what they are saying. I might know where they're going, might have heard this one 1,000 times, but I want to see where they're coming from, not just what they're saying, but how they're feeling. I may not agree with what they're saying, but at least I want to understand them first. If you've ever thought, you know, I really can't imagine why someone would do X, fill in the blank, whatever it is. I can't imagine why someone would think X or support X. If you've ever thought that, you just can't imagine why someone would do that, then chances are you're not a very good listener, at least some of the time. After we understand, then we can have a much more compassionate response. We can respond not only to the topic, but also to where they're coming from. If you're a bad listener, that may be a reason that people don't like you. Great listeners are also people who are greatly loved. Number two, are you a loner? Are you a loner? Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Sometimes we're called introverts, sometimes we're called loners. There's different words for it. But why do some people want to be loners? There's a lot of different reasons, I suppose. And being introverted, obviously, is not a bad thing. I don't want you to get that impression. But wanting to be alone all the time, that's a little bit different. Ultimately, it boils down to this, according to the Bible. I'm seeking my own desire. If I don't have a relationship with you, then you can't expect anything out of me. And I don't have any responsibility to you, and I can do whatever I want. If I have kids, I can't always watch on TV what I want to watch. Sometimes it's Blue's Clues time, whether I like it or not. Sometimes I can't eat where I want to eat because other people want to do other things. If I'm a loner, I'm free of a lot of that responsibility. It's selfishness. I can do what I want to do and not care about what anybody else wants. If you choose to be a loner, rather than intertwining your life with others, you rob yourself of the growth that comes with being counted on. Being expected to forego your own desires occasionally for the benefit of someone else causes growth, or at least it can if you respond properly to it. And the joy that goes along with making a difference in someone else's life, those are all things that you sacrifice if you choose to be a loner. Not only that, you put yourself in a dangerous position if you were to fall. And let's face it, we all stumble from time to time. The Ecclesiastes writer says, "Woe to him who falls when he's alone." Those who choose isolation are selfish, seeking their own desire. They may convince themselves that this is the way to live. Get up when I want. I do what I want. Nobody tell me this or that. You might convince yourself that's the way to live, but God says, no, that's foolish. That's raging against all wise judgment. It's okay to want to have moments to yourself, to collect yourself, or to take care of yourself. But if you get the idea that this is the way to live your life, then God calls that unwise. And that may be one reason that people don't like you. Number three, are you quick to give your opinion? If the elbows aren't flying, I don't know. Are you quick to give your opinion? Proverbs 12:23. I think this applies to me. This applies to a lot of us, I think. Proverbs 12:23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. Now, prudent is not a word that we use very often. Basically, it carries the idea of someone who has good sense. Someone who is wise. So imagine that there's a discussion taking place, and it's something that you know about, or something that you think you know about. Do you have the ability to choose not to say something? I mean, we all have that ability. Are you able to not say anything? Are you able to exercise that ability? A prudent person can, a wise person can, but a fool says, oh, we're talking about this? Let me tell you what I think. If you put a group of people together, whether it's 5 people or 50 people, and you just let conversation come up, every time a new topic comes up, there will probably be somebody that has to say something about every single topic. The Bible says that's a fool. A prudent person can have knowledge about a topic or an opinion on a topic and not even open their mouth. Everyone has an opinion, so why do you or I think that your opinion or my opinion needs to be shared at every opportunity. A wise person can hold their peace. Number four, are you argumentative? Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3. Are you argumentative? It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. Imagine you're in a situation where there's some argument happening. Chances are that you are not completely innocent. What is your role in that situation once it's already started? Are you the person that thinks that, hey, I'm not going to give up until they give in, until they admit that I am right, or until they walk away, I'm not going to give up? Or are you the more honorable person and stop the quarrel and asks for forgiveness for whatever part you had in it? Before you say, yeah, sure, I can ask for forgiveness, here's a little self-test. Think about in the past week or 2 weeks or month, when was the last time that you said, I'm sorry, can you forgive me? Or something along those lines. Surely we all mess up at least once a week, at least once a month for the best of us. If you haven't said that recently, chances are there are people who do not like you because of that. No one likes to be around someone who thinks that they're always right and someone who is argumentative and never asks for forgiveness. An honorable person, the person that God wants us to be, can literally stop the strife. They can stop the strife. Number five, are you easily offended or unforgiving? Are you easily offended or unforgiving? Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. And I like what the Amplified Bible adds by way of commentary. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense without seeking revenge and harboring resentment. If you're looking for pennies on the ground, you know what you'll find? You'll probably find some pennies on the ground. If you're looking to be offended, you'll probably be offended, whether someone meant to offend you or not. A wise person will understand that people sometimes put their feet in their mouths. They'll say something offensive, perhaps without even realizing, without intending it at all. Maybe it was something that really did need to be said, but it was said in a not perfect way. I know I'm guilty of this sort of thing sometimes. But a wise person will be able to bear with them and have patience and will be able to glean whatever they intended out of that, in spite of maybe using the wrong words. They'll be able to overlook the offense, whether it was intended or not. The wise won't become resentful. The wise won't seek to offend back. They will forgive and show grace. A statement that I heard recently has stuck with me, and it's something that I'm trying hard to better implement in my life. It goes like this. Try hard not to offend. And as Christians, I think that's an eminently scriptural thing. You know, that doesn't mean, you know, don't say the truth if we need to preach the gospel, obviously. The truth is offensive to some people. But try hard not to offend. If there's any way to say something kindly, say it that way. But try even harder not to be offended. It's hard to win souls if they're constantly offending you. Think about the kind of people that Jesus spent time with. Not condoning what they did, but because they needed what he had to say. If you're impatient with people's mistakes, if you take things personally, if you're unable to overlook an offense, whether it was intended or not, and show grace without becoming resentful, this very well may be a reason that people don't like you or me. Number six, do you cut people down? Do you cut people down? Do you use sharp words? Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. There's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. We don't have many swords today, unless you're Connor. He's got a big sword like the size of my leg. But generally, we don't have swords today. So think of like the biggest butcher knife that you have in your kitchen. And think about someone holding that and stabbing that into your body. What kind of feelings does that give you? It gives me shivers, goosebumps to think of like someone just chopping vegetables and accidentally cutting their finger. But to imagine a sword being thrust at you, piercing you, that's going to hurt. You know the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. It's literally, yes, maybe that's true. Like, you know, oh, Evan, how'd you break your arm? Somebody said something mean to me. You know, literally it's true, but scripturally, the idea behind it, no, that's not true. Our words can hurt. Our words are like sword thrusts. Piercing. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. People who speak like this use their words to hurt. These are not the kinds of people that we ought to be. Can't you do anything right? You always. You never. They use their words like a dagger. On the other hand, the wise person uses his words not to hurt, but to build up, to encourage, to heal. Number seven, do you get mad easily? Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Back in the day, this is unusual to us. People don't take cities today. But back in the day, when this was important, the closest thing we could think of is like imagining a real-life superhero walking through the door. Someone who took the enemy's city, that's about what they would be like. They would be the most famous of the most famous. You remember the song that the Jews sang of David? The closest thing that we could probably think of is if Mylan discovered the cure for cancer, like what would we think of Mylan? He would be way up there and he would be world famous, right? The person who took a city back in the day, that's how people thought of that person. But God says, even better than that is if you can hold your temper, if you can control your emotions rather than your emotions controlling you. Self-discipline is hard, but we can grow. That's just my personality. I'm short-tempered. That's not good enough. That's just not good enough. That doesn't cut it any more than saying that, you know, I'm just a liar. That's just my personality. I'm just a thief. That's just my personality. Well, it might be. It might be what you're used to, but that can't be what we continue to do. At least that can't be our goal. Even if we fail from time to time, we need to pick ourselves back up. And if you get mad easily, this very well may be a reason that people don't like you. Number eight, are you too blunt? Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11. Are you too blunt? A fool vents all of his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. This is similar to the last one. Well, I'm just telling it like it is. It's very rare that that statement is preceded by something nice. That was the best dinner I've ever had. I'm just telling it like it is. Like, that's usually not the way it goes. Don't mess with me. If you start something with me, I don't hold back. Foolishness. That's what God says. If someone messes with you and you want to have some choice words for that person, you had better hold back if you want to be a wise person. Do you think there were certain words that Jesus wanted to say as people were nailing him to the cross? Spitting on him. Can you imagine if someone spat on you? Just because you think it doesn't mean you need to share it. Social media is not the only culprit here, but it is up there. Social media has become an outlet for people to broadcast every feeling they have. God calls it foolishness. A wise person can have a feeling and keep it to himself. Everybody's got opinions, and everybody thinks that they're right, sometimes very strongly right. But people don't want to know everything you think. But the foolish person is under the impression that everybody wants to know exactly what I think at all times. This may be a reason that people don't like you. Number nine, can you be counted on? Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. So imagine David going on a long marathon run, you know, however many crazy miles it is in the summer Florida heat, or Noel going on one of his 100-mile bike rides. If you didn't know it, he does that. I'd hate to drive 100 miles in a car, but he does that on a bicycle. Imagine doing that, and they come home, and they're hot, and they're tired, and they say to their sweet wives, honey, could I get a glass of water? I'm thirsty. And they get handed a nice, tall glass of cold vinegar. How do you think that would go over? I wouldn't like that. Maybe they would. Or, you know, we don't do much with fire these days, but if you've ever been camping, you know what it feels like to have the wind shift and the smoke all of a sudden blow in your face and it stings. And you slam your eyes shut immediately and you try to move out of the way. This is what it's like for someone who is lazy, someone who cannot be counted on. If you're someone who says that they'll be there and don't show up at all, or maybe you show up 9 times out of 10, or when you show up late. If you make a commitment, you make a promise, sometimes you keep it, sometimes you don't. You can't really be relied on when it matters. Oh, so-and-so volunteered for that, but we better get a backup because you know how he is. If you're this person, this might be a reason that people don't like you. You might as well be handing out cups of vinegar to marathon runners or blowing smoke in someone's eyes. No one likes it when people can't be counted on. Number 10, are you a miser? Are you a miser? Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. It's one thing to live within your means, to be wise with money God has blessed you with, to be a good steward. You know, I wish there were more people who lived their lives like that. If you are that person, good for you. Keep it up. But there's others who take it to the other extreme and become a miser. They're a penny pincher. They're stingy. This is not good. You won't be harmed by being generous. You know, within your means, of course. And you know, don't let people take advantage of you. And if you need that warning, you know, this one is not for you. Just zone out for a second. But if you've ever been called stingy, whether you believe it or not, be careful. Be careful. And not just with your money, but with your time. If people are constantly asking for more of your time, we ought to be generous with not just our money, but with our time, with ourselves. Volunteer. Spend time with your family. Do good. If you've got enough money, you can do these things. You can work, not just for a paycheck that you don't need, but for the sake of doing good, for being generous for people who need you and your help. Whatever is expected of you, give more. Whatever is expected of you, give more. That's how we can become generous people. Be generous just to be generous, not for the pat on the back that you might expect, but just for the sake of it. Number 11, do you make fun of people? Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 5. He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. It's one thing to laugh with someone. You know, the Proverbs does say that it's good to be able to laugh. It does the heart good. You know, there's a lot of positive things with that. But if you see someone and you laugh at them, at their expense, instead of with them, because they're poorer than you, or because they look different than you, or for whatever reason, God says, this is not good. If you reproach them for these things, it's as if you're approaching God himself. If I make a painting and you say that's an ugly painting, that's a reflection upon me. And if you look at someone and you mock them, if you make light of them, that's mocking God, that's making light of God. There's websites online that are dedicated to making fun of how people dress. Or when people trip and fall and do something silly. You know, so it's one thing if you like film yourself trip and fall and have a mistake and you upload it so everybody can have a laugh. You know, you're wanting people to laugh with you. But if someone is playing a joke on someone at their expense, or someone is just having a bad day and we're watching it just to laugh at them, or someone that you don't like, maybe it's people on the other side of the political aisle, something bad happens to them and you say, good. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. And if this is you, this may be a reason that people do not like you. Number 12, can you not keep a secret? Can you not keep a secret? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Oh, you didn't mean for me to tell that to anybody? You didn't say? Don't tell anybody. No. Sometimes it should just go without saying that, you know, I don't have to tell you, like, don't tell anybody. Sometimes you shouldn't have to say that. Do you feel like everything that people say to you needs to be said to someone else? If you do feel that way, odds are that people know that about you and they won't tell you things that you might otherwise like to know or need to know. And people don't like that about you. We're not talking about keeping secrets that might enable someone to sin or cause someone harm. We're not talking about that. And we're talking about things that just don't need to be said because it's nobody's business. Even if someone didn't ask you not to tell anybody. Right now, can you think of many things that someone has said to you that you have heard over the past few weeks that you wouldn't tell anybody? Again, not because they said don't tell anybody, but because it's just not my business. I don't need to hear that. If you can't think of many of those things, then chances are you can't keep a secret, and people don't like that about you. Imagine in a conversation, someone mentions a mistake that another person made. You could chip in, oh yeah, so-and-so did that the other day too. Why would you say that? Why would you say that? We should be experts about being faithful, of keeping private things private. I think you all know what I mean. Number 13, are you inflexible and controlling? Proverbs 14:4. This is an interesting one. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. We don't do much with oxen today, or troughs for that matter. But imagine you live back in the day, maybe you're a farmer, you earned your living off of your livestock, and you use them to pull the plow. So you have, these oxen are a great benefit to you, but there's a slight drawback that your barn is sometimes dirty. So there's a great benefit with a slight drawback. So you don't like how much of a mess they make, so you get rid of them so your barn can be more clean. Well, okay, good luck pulling the plow all by yourself. Basically, the principle is, if we're going to make application, you have to give up some control over your life. You've got to be a little bit more flexible with certain things, with cleanliness in this instance, if you want the benefit that those things bring. The Evan Standard Version translation of this is, where no children are, the house is clean, but much joy comes by the presence of a child. There's a lot of things like that. Do children make messes? Occasionally. But are they net positive? Yeah, I'd say so. And it's not just children, but the more relationships that you share in, the messier life tends to get. People tend to need you. They need help. Someone might need help moving. Having things a certain way is nice, but that is not the point of life. Having all your knickknacks in a certain row and having the plastic cover on your couch. I don't know anybody who has that. I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, so if you have that, don't be offended, please. I don't intend it. But having things a certain, it's okay to want to have things a certain way. But if that is your top priority in life, and you're giving up other things like fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, or relationships that could make you a better person, you're missing the point of life. There's signs that people will get in their houses when they have kids that say something along the lines of, don't mind the mess, we're busy making memories. And yeah, that's true. Now, you could be on your kids all day long about cleaning up their silly toys and not doing the thing, and your house might be clean, but it might not be a place that anybody wants to actually live. Or there's other ones that say, I thank God for dirty dishes because that means we had a meal to eat. So there's multiple ways to think of these things. Are we looking at just the negative thing? Years ago, I was in another congregation. There were a lot of babies, and they would scream and wail and cry and carry on. And this was annoying to me as a young man. And I told one of the elders, can you tell them to take the babies out? And this, I could only see the negative of that. I couldn't see that. There's these Christian parents bringing their babies to worship. As hard as it is, they're raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's a great thing. There's a little bit of messiness that comes with it. Those of us who feel like we have to control everybody and everything and have things just so, it may be a reason that people don't like you. It may be time to open up the fist of control that we think we have over our lives and let go of some of the little things. Number 14, are you inconsiderate? Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 14, he who blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. Some people are early risers. Raise your hand if you're an early riser. Early risers sometimes have the additional character trait, not always, I'm not accusing anybody, of feeling like they're better. Personally, I'm not an early riser, but occasionally I will wake up early. And personally, I do feel like, yes, I'm better than all these lazy bums who are still sleeping. But it's not a good thing to be inconsiderate about that. Maybe you have to wake up early for work. Maybe you've got young children. If everybody in your household is not also an early riser, be considerate of them. And not just with sleep, but with other things. But this is the example. Sometimes one of the kids will need something in the middle of the night, and Jeanette goes, if she goes and tends to them, she won't make a big deal out of it. She won't say, "Oh, I did it last time, Evan, can you go?" No, she'll be as quiet as a ninja. And she'll ask me, you know, a week later or the next day, she'll say, "Oh, did you hear Gloria? You know, she threw up everywhere at 2 a.m. and I bathed her and, you know, washed this and that and all of this and I fixed her. Did you hear her?" "No. And thank you very much for not waking me up." You know, obviously if she needed help, she would have woken me up. But she is quiet as a ninja. Or if she knows that there was a night that I didn't rest well, which happens sometimes, she'll wake up early and take care of the kids and play with them quietly at the other end of the house so that I can get a little bit of extra rest, and it's very much appreciated. She likes it when I do the dishes, but if I were to wake up early and clang the pots and pans at 5 a.m., she would appreciate it a little bit less. You know, we need to be considerate of other people, and when we're thoughtless, even when we're trying to do good, good luck getting a pat on the back for that. And if you're inconsiderate as a person, this may be a reason that people don't like you. So if you're an early riser, that doesn't mean everybody else is. Have a little bit of patience with them. Number 15, are you unsympathetic? Are you unsympathetic? Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 20. "Like one who takes away a garment in cold weather, and like vinegar on soda is one who sings songs to a heavy heart." When someone is sad, really sad, the answer isn't to just make them laugh or to distract them. Unless they're one or two, then that is exactly the answer. At least sometimes. It works really well if you're dealing with toddlers. But if you're sad and someone is joking, if you're grieving and someone is cracking jokes, does that make you feel better? Usually not. "Oh, hey, you look cold. Let me take your jacket." Feel better? No, not at all. That's the opposite of what I need. When someone is grieving, it is not helpful to pretend that there's no sadness. It might not be the time to look at the bright side of things just yet. There will be time for that. But in the meantime, the Bible says, weep with those who weep. Weep with those who weep. Come alongside them. Share their burden. If you're unsympathetic, it might be a reason that people don't like you. Number 16, do you use other people? Here's another weird one. Proverbs chapter 23, the first few verses. Proverbs 23, the first few verses. "When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite." This is a complex verse. There's a lot going on here, but in short, the idea, at least in part, is that there's this wealthy person, and they've invited you over. They've got delicious food, and you want to eat at their table because they've got this delicious food, and you're using that person, and there's danger in that. We don't need to be using people. If there's somebody in your life and you have a relationship with him just because of what you can get out of it, well, that's not really a friendship, is it? You're using them. We ought to be having the mind that I want to be close to you so that I can help you, so that I can give to you, not for what I can get out of it. Number 17, are you rude? Proverbs 15 and 28. "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." Just because you are right or think you are right doesn't mean you can speak however you want. There's a right what to say. You know, obviously, we have to speak the truth always. But that's not enough. The Bible also says that if you're righteous, there's a right way to say it. How you say the truth matters, according to God. And if we're righteous, we will season it with salt. Make it taste as good as possible going down. Don't make it taste as terrible as you possibly can. You know, a piece of broccoli is a piece of broccoli, but you can make it taste pretty good. Or you can make it taste awful. Make it taste as good as you can if you want someone to take it. Season it with salt. Say it gracefully, humbly, considering others. And finally this morning, number 18, are you sarcastic? This one hurts me, because I am. Proverbs 15, verse 4. "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." Sarcasm, if the other person, just like any kind of joking, if the other person is in on it, if you're joking with someone, it can sometimes be funny, and that's fine. That's not what we're talking about. Nothing wrong with that. But all too often, sarcasm is at the expense of someone else. It's used as a nice way to convey contempt, to politely call someone stupid in front of their face and have plausible deniability, or to mock them. Imagine you come home from the grocery store and your hands are full of grocery bags and you're struggling and your spouse is sitting on the couch. They don't even offer to get up. And what do you say? No, thanks. Don't get up. I got it. As you roll your eyes and sarcasm. That's contempt. You're mocking them for being unobservant, for being lazy, for whatever you're attributing to them. That's contempt. You could politely say, oh, honey, could you help me? Oh, sure. Be happy to. But if they got sarcasm instead, if they got contempt, what are the chances they're going to like helping you? They might help you, but it's going to be in spite of your attitude, not because of it. Sarcasm is literally a perversion, a twisting of kind words and using them in a biting way. I don't think a better definition of sarcasm could be made. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in our tongue breaks the spirit. The Bible says sarcasm can break the spirit. It's something that is unwholesome. This is not the attitude that Christians ought to have. May our words be sincere and wholesome. If you say, no, please don't get up, and you mean it, wow, that would make me feel special. That would make me feel like I was being treated. So if you say it, you better mean it. Unless you're obviously joking, you know. But a word of unasked for advice to my fellow sarcastic people, be careful. It hurts people far more often than they let on. And if you're sarcastic, it may be a reason that people don't like you. They might like you, but they'll like you in spite of your sarcasm, not because of it. So that's it. The lesson is yours. I hope that this has been as helpful to you as it was to me. There are many, many more proverbs that we could cover. Maybe, Lord willing, that's something we can do in the future. But hopefully we found something that we can improve in our lives. If there's anything that we can do for you at this time, if you would like to obey the gospel, if you know what you need to do to obey the gospel and you would like assistance in that, if you would simply like the prayers of the church, having already obeyed the gospel, if you have questions or anything like that, we're about to sing a song to encourage you. Would you please take this moment right now to come forward as we together stand and sing to encourage you?